Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Yacht Racing Life podcast. It's another Sail GP episode. We just did one, Magnus. We were in Saint-Tropez, or not in Saint-Tropez, but talking about the Saint-Tropez event last weekend. And this weekend it was Geneva, Switzerland, for a pretty light airs event. Anybody who watched the event will probably realize that we're not going to go into a blow-by-blow on the racing particularly, because it was mostly non-foiling. And a little bit disappointing and dull, to be quite honest. The most exciting thing about it for me was that the Germans got to a final for the first time. Well done them. And also managed to pull off an event win, which is just great. I'm so happy for those guys. And it just proves, Magnus, that anything can happen in this league, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really pleased with Germany. They've been the standout of the midfield that look capable of coming through. They sailed very well in very, very tough conditions. Didn't look like they were going to win. A ninth and a seventh and a fifth on the first day didn't sort of give me any indication that they were going to win this. And then, 5-1-3 to win it overall. Congratulations, and it's great to see. But they have been coming, and I noticed on Saturday they were sailing very well. They were sailing intelligently. There was a nice glide to how they were sailing. So great. Geneva was a joke, and I honestly, I don't know why we choose these venues. You know it's not going to be windy in Geneva. You know it's going to be a light air event, and it felt a little bit like a sponsor appeasement regatta rather than this racing at the pinnacle, which they're so desperate to tell us that it is.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think maybe that was part of the Swiss team's commitment to the league, that they got an event over there. We said last week it's not always super light there. It can be windy, so they could have got lucky. And quite honestly, I thought they did get lucky because they got some foiling races in.
Yes.
At least the boats were out of the water. It could have been a complete drift-a-thon the whole time. They were using the new light wind foils. Probably pretty lucky that they were, because it was like below 8 knots a lot of the time. And it's quite impressive that the boats were able to foil at all in that. So I guess that's a success.
Yeah, so they had the 24 square meter rig up, which is the big rig. They had the high speed rudders on. And then the really long span new foils, which look a work of art. There were some wonderful shots of it coming out in this almost a presentation box from the Southampton Tech Institute. And then Chris Draper, the Aussie wing trimmer, he gave a very interesting interview, because the Australian team were the team that tested those. So they've had more time on those foils than anybody else. And he was really talking about the glide profile of it. And the glide profile, you could really see the top teams, the top helms, using that glide. Once you're up on the foils, very interesting to see how Pete Burling, when he was leading, Quentin Delapierre, when they were leading, the Aussies, when they were leading, how smooth it looked. It actually looked quite majestic and quite nice. And with three people on the boat, obviously there was an awful lot going on for the crews. I have to say, over the weekend, the crews, every single crew member, whenever we got on board, were all ruining something going wrong, something not going their way. It was that kind of a weekend. And for professional athletes, that's quite hard for them to take. And it was just cruel all the way around. You what worked in one race wouldn't work in another race. It didn't matter how you were sailing the boat, really. It was a little bit of the luck of the gods.
Yeah, that three-person crew for a boat of that size and complexity, I thought that made it, that was the interesting bit about watching the racing for me, was trying to work out how they were all doing it slightly differently. It was hard because you never get consistent shots, but you know, you'd see the flight controller lean forward and wind a bit on the winch and then drop back into his seat and grab the flight control. And I guess they were swapping over between the helmsman flying the boat at certain times, but then he's got to cross the boat. And I thought that bit was great.
Yeah, I think the crew coordination was very interesting. So the good teams were very good at it. Interestingly, the communications, because now you haven't got a strategist on board calling the shots. So I really zeroed in I had no technical way of zeroing in, but I just listened intently when they went onto the British boat, and you could hear Dylan talking to Ian Jensen and Parco and how they were communicating between each other. Really and really good insight into how professional sailors, how they're reading the course, also how they're mentally playing off each other and how they're coaxing each other along, and very, very good. And again, the Aussies as well, Draper and Slingsby. I think, you know, Draper's now calling him mate, which is very interesting. And yeah, there's a really good interplay there. You can see why the top three teams, the Kiwis, the Aussies and the Brits, you know, you're probably not going to win a regatta like this. The probability suggests you're not going to win a regatta like this, but they're all up in the hunt. Kiwis didn't have a great one, but they were up in the hunt, won the first race and then sort of dropped off. But yeah, it's the top three teams that I think are pretty much decided now. Everybody else is playing catch up in a sort of a 360 way of their whole campaign, their whole approach to SailGP, to those top three teams who I think have really gapped away from the rest.
Yeah, I've got something to say about the three people crew and the Germans in particular. Stu Bithel is their wing trimmer. He's a double Olympic medalist, comes from the 470s, comes from my neck of the woods, up in the north of England. Just a fantastic, instinctive sailor. And he grew up sailing on the lakes of the northwest of England, where it's fluky as you like. So Geneva would have suited him absolutely perfectly. And you could hear from the onboard comms that he was really leading the charge. He was getting the boat around the course. And I love the fact that when they managed to, the race that they won, they got around the first turn mark and jibed successfully and just, you know, got slotted into a bit of breeze and were off and foiling while everybody else was still in the water. And I heard Bithel say, "See ya," you know, which is like just typical of him. Like, and anybody else, it'd be super arrogant, but he would just have loved the fun of that, you know, because he knows what it's like also to be sat flat in the water while everybody else sails away from them. So
he's kind of the forgotten man of British yachting. And it was lovely to see him. It was also lovely to see them as they crossed the finish line, the celebrations. I think Ricardo Pinto caught the mood perfectly on the chase boat back in. And but all the way around the course, they were doing things. I like the pumping downwind. You could see them pumping the jib downwind, just trying. And this is in full displacement mode, just trying to eke it. There was a desperation to win. But we saved the best till last. That final race was fantastic. And to hold your nerve when Slingsby's foiling, you've just gone round the leeward mark and you're in displacement, to hold your nerve, bang out to the left-hand side of the course, flick over, and then you know, just get back up and foiling was remarkable. And then holding it through the final jibe to the finish, and then the pure elation coming out as they did it. That's great. I mean, it's really, really good. Good for Stu, good for Eric Heil. And remember, this German team has got some serious backing. You know, Sebastian Vettel is the, you know, Formula One guy who's backing it, and plenty of other backers as well. Germany, I don't expect them to be up there, but I could see them in coming seasons just getting better and better.
Yeah, and it moves them up the rankings I think they're in ninth overall now, right? So, yeah, I mean, still not a stellar season for them, but it kind of puts them out of the relegation zone, even though we don't really have a relegation zone. But yeah, does take the pressure off them a little bit, I guess. Mm. So that win for the Germans, it moves them up to ninth overall in the standings. Still not a stellar season, but I guess they're out of the relegation zone that we don't really have with Sale GP. But there is always pressure on those lower teams. And I'm looking down that list now, and you know, the United States had a better event in terms of results. The last time we had a Driftathon, they did quite well, I think, in Dubai, right at the beginning of the season. And for sure, when it's a bit more like sailing normal boats, you know, Taylor's a multiple match racing world champion, and he can definitely do it. And he picked the breeze pretty well on several occasions. And they had, you know, I think a couple of fourths or something over the weekend.
Three fourths. I'll come back to you. Let me just go on to Germany, because obviously their overall season standings, probably there's a bit of an anchor from the earlier part of the season. They have got better and better, and they do look like the most likely team to break through. I'm not expecting them to be in the top three or four, but I can see them being fifth or sixth. I think that's probably naturally where they're rising towards. And they've got great, you know, the backing of Sebastian Vettel, Formula One ex-world champion, plus plenty, you know, Deutsche Bank and plenty of other big name sponsors, quite a lot of momentum behind them. And I can see in Eric and Stu and others in the team that there's a will to get better. And so I expect them next year to be the first of the mid-ranked teams. USA, three fourth places. Yep, it's like you say, as soon as it goes back to displacement sailing, then they could have had a few thirds. But as soon as it goes back to displacement sailing, they're in the hunt. They were back to their old tricks this weekend: social media, Tommy Hilfiger fashion shows, and looking like clowns, to be honest. And I feel sorry for them. Obviously, they've got a huge sponsor in Tommy Hilfiger, and they have to fulfill that sponsorship agreement. It would be fine if the results on the water were as good as their results off the water are, as in their commercial success off the water. But they do look like chumps walking around with preppy non-sailing gear, and I feel sorry for them. But we want the USA to do well, and it was slightly more encouraging. But there was an interview with Taylor on the Saturday after racing, saying, "Yeah, it's all on me. I've got to improve." Blah blah blah. Mea culpa. Okay. This is the same. This is just, you know, rinse and repeat at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm trying to put myself in the position as if I was working for the team, and you have that Tommy Hilfiger sponsorship. As you say, you've got to fulfill it. You've got to, you know, do the stuff you committed to doing. And I guess there's an element of it. Of yes, we are failing on the water. We're trying to correct that. So let's not fail commercially as well. Let's not piss our sponsors off and, you know, drop the ball there as well. So I think they're in a hard place, and it seems that, you know, Mike Buckley has stepped off the boat. I don't think he was on there this weekend, and kudos to him for doing that. We've been saying it for a while that that's what needs to happen. There hasn't been a paradigm shift in the performance of the boat, but I think it has been a step in the right direction, and it's a commitment that at least they're taking it seriously. You know, that must have been heart-wrenching for Mike to have to do that, because at heart, he is a sailor. He's a competitive sailor, and he's, you know, very successful in One Design Fleet. So that will have hurt him to have to step back into the shoreside role. So well done for that.
You know, Mike Menninger and Andrew Campbell from the American Magic days, they are, you know, certainly Mike's a very understated guy. Andrew Campbell's one of the nicest people in sailing. The interesting thing, when there was the fashion shoot, they just came out in just plain blue and just strolling through the gates and the entrance gates. Taylor comes along in the full Tommy Hilfiger gear with gilets on and big logos and stuff. And I just the lens that I saw that through was Mike and Andrew are just kind of, come on guys, let's go sailing, let's just keep it, whereas Mike and Taylor are much more pushing out there and commercially minded. So I think there's a kernel of there's something there when you bring in guys, you know, Mike Menninger and Andrew Campbell, when you bring those guys in, there's something that you can really work with. And it is what it is for the USA, but Russell needs a good American team to crack America on the channels over there and to try and get the support. And I can't see them breaking through, and especially when we get really foiling with Taylor at the helm. So they've really got to think about that. And I think, like you say, Mike stepping off, big, big move. But wouldn't you, you know, if you're just not good enough, you have to step aside. And these guys come with America's Cup experience. They've been on the AC75. They've done all the training in Barcelona. They'll probably be involved in American Magic going forward. They are top foilers. You have to bow to them. You have to let other people come through.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, you bring in, you know, the rest of the American Magic operation, you draw from that talent pool, and I think then you could have the perfect storm. You could have an amazing commercial team that's also, you know, a top five team on the water, and that's that's gold. You know, if I was Mike Buckley, I think that's where I would be angling for, because then you're going to look like a rock star in every way possible, and it's going to look like, you know, you created this team, which he did, and you were smart enough to bring in the right people. So, you know, maybe this is an end of the season thing. In the down period, we'll see some changes. Could be interesting to watch. I have to make an apology to people who get my Yacht Racing Life newsletter. The one that went out this morning, I wrote very passionately that I thought that the 14th team, and we're going to come on to who the 13th team was, I thought it was going to be an American Magic team headed by Harry Melges. I was corrected this morning by a friend of mine who works at SailGP. I missed the fact that apparently now there is not going to be a 14th team. Magnus, I think you got caught out by it as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I interviewed Russell in Portsmouth, and I have it on record, you know, clearly saying there'll be 14 teams on the line and that they're going to go for 7 and 7. I got corrected by Natalie Fortier at SailGP on Saturday, saying, Magnus, that's not actually quite true. We've announced Artemis Racing coming in, and there won't be a 14th team until 2027 now, which I thought, oh, okay, that is news to me. I have to admit, I didn't watch the press conference because the press conferences are extremely dull, and I went sailing myself at the weekend. So, yes, there's apparently the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The 13th team is Artemis, which is great. Nathan's back in, and that puts all the Far Eastern rumors and the Japanese teams and everything else to bed. Potentially, we don't know. And it leaves the 14th team open for basically a year's worth of speculation. And let's see what happens, because by the end of, you know, going into 2027, it will be an America's Cup year. So would American Magic do it in that year and also run an America's Cup team? Possibly not. I don't know who that 14th team is, and there's tons of speculation of who it's going to be. Personally, I'd love to see Harry Melges in this. I'd also like to see Marco Gradoni in this, and that's a rivalry that is up there with Connor and Blackadder, in my opinion. And we need the best people in SailGP if it's going to be a successful and thriving league. Just when we're talking about Mike Buckley stepping off, you know, in my opinion, the best helmsman, or one of the best helmsmen not out there, is Ben Ainslie, and he stepped away. And I rated him in the last America's Cup very, very highly, the way his racecraft, management of the boat and everything else, he was sensational. But he stepped away and is just letting Dylan get on with it. There comes a time when they have to do that. I think the driver circuit this year, the merry-go-round, if we have a transfer window, could be quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about Artemis a little bit. Something to celebrate. Great to see Ian Percy back in this whole thing. Nathan Outridge as well. They were a pretty formidable force together. I heard in the interview with Nathan, he said, you know, when we did those America's Cup campaigns, it was the Artemis family, and it's lovely to be back. Which I thought was a really nice way of expressing it. I had a question mark over the whole thing, given that Nathan is the skipper of the Emirates Team New Zealand America's Cup syndicate. He got that job because Peter Burling left, and a big reason for him leaving was the discrepancy between his desire to prioritize SailGP and Grant Dalton's desire for him to prioritize the America's Cup. And now suddenly it's okay for Nathan to go and commit to SailGP. So I guess it says something about the difference between Nathan's role in the America's Cup team and Pete's role, which was that engineering interface, the backwards and forwards between the technology and the design and the actual sailing of the boat. Perhaps Nathan is not fulfilling that role for the team, which begs the question, well, who is then? Anyway, this is a SailGP podcast, not a America's Cup. But
I'll have to slightly take the Fifth Amendment on that one, because I do know some of the reasons why that happened, and it's not quite a sailing reason. I don't think Grant's got any problem with Nathan going off and competing in SailGP. I think it's really, really exciting that Nathan is back in. He's a mercurial talent. Why he sat out the 2021 America's Cup, and I remember writing all that stuff saying, this is ridiculous that the greatest talent is sitting there commentating. That's a job for you and I. You know, this is, what is he doing? And then he was back in for 24. He's going to be great in SailGP. I think the opportunity that it offers those young Swedish sailors coming through, remember the ones at the Youth and Women's America's Cup, they were chomping at the bit to carry on their program and learning with, you know, Artemis Technologies. So having them back is brilliant. I mean, it's been so long mooted that they would come back. We've been talking about them coming into the America's Cup as well. This could be a stepping stone towards that. They've certainly got the money. They've certainly got the technology as well, which is the key part now of going forward into these pinnacle events. They'll have the data analysis. They'll do well in SailGP, and I think Nathan will be the sounding board that brings through a whole generation of Swedish sailors who throughout history have been absolutely fantastic. And it's great. It's great for the sport to see them. And with Ian Percy, well, Ian, where have you been? We've missed you. We've missed you hugely in British sailing. We've lost you to Sweden, but he's fantastic in interview. He's no nonsense. He gives it straight. He's a terrific guy. And the sport, you know, if we're going to grow the sport and have more eyeballs on this, people like Ian, he's going to take a huge amount of pressure off guys like Ben Ainslie and Tom Slingsby or whatever, because Ian's going to provide the soundbite and be the management behind the scenes. Nathan, equally, you've interviewed him a number of times. You know just how good he is at giving you a very long answer and telling you precisely nothing.
That's true.
Absolutely nothing. And he's brilliant. He's literally weapons grade at that. You know, he's up there with Andrew Campbell in the same level of BS, but making you believe that what he's telling you is really important. So yeah, it's going to be great for the league and great for the sport.
Yeah, I think it's a great announcement. Really pleased for everybody that's involved in that. I guess there's a bit of nervousness from some of the other teams who might feel that there might be some poaching going on. We saw that when Jimmy came in with the Italian team and stole a few people. Equally, I think I agree with you. I think it's more likely that, yes, we might see a big name flight controller or wing trimmer, but I suspect that there's going to be a lot of youth element to that team. As you say, they're going to draw on that talent pool.
Yeah, I hope they don't go that way. I hope they don't go and try and get a Carl Langford or someone, you know, of that ilk. I would love to see them say, no, we've got these super talented young sailors. We're going to spend the winter, or we're going to spend from now until the beginning of next season in the simulator. And we're going to analyze every race. We're going to be at all the coming regattas. And we're going to go with a Swedish team. I may be being a little bit idealistic here, but that would be so good to see, and a great shot in the arm for the next generations coming through.
Yeah. And just as a point on that, Artemis Technologies, the company that Ian Percy's been running, they created the simulator for SailGP. So they've probably got good access to it, I would say.
And then having a very high profile individual in Torben Tornqvist coming in and supporting it, it may bring other millionaires and billionaires into it as well. It's all round great news. You looked at Russell's face; he was just beaming because he knows this is a big moment. And the league is doing all the right things.
It is. I do think not having the 14th team is a massive embarrassment for them, though. They've tried to pass it off quite casually, and what I was told today was that the repairs to the Brazilian and the American boat, you know, meant that the new boat's not going to be ready. But it's next season, for heaven's sake. You know, I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that. And they made such a fuss that they were overwhelmed with suitors who wanted to, you know, be part of this whole thing. I just wonder whether they just didn't get a deal that they wanted.
Yeah, if American Magic turned around and said, no, we're doing the America's Cup, I mean, honestly, who's going to come in? And then you're in. I mean, I said I'd love to see a women's team. And literally backed by Larry Ellison and saying, right, we will fund you. Sponsors would be queuing up to do that. And just do it. Get Hannah Mills, you know, have an international team of women. Fantastic. That would be great for the league. And the thing is with Russell is you mention these kind of things in a blog, or you'd mention it to him. And he is a throw that, we said it before, throw mud at the wall and see what sticks. If he thinks that's going to be a good idea, he'll make that happen. And so he's got the power to do that. I honestly don't believe the nonsense. They can't knock up a boat. They basically had the Brazilian boat brought back in plastic bags and rebuilt it in time to go racing in Saint-Tropez. So don't tell me you can't build a boat that, you know, and it's next season as well, like you say. You can build that boat. And it's really about taking the league forward. And I think an all women's team, that's the next big, big, big one. Hannah's always been talking about it and would love to lead one. Well, do you know what? I think it's probably time that someone said, yeah, go and do it, because it's all there. There's some brilliant young women talent. Look at what happened in Chicago. There's what in the weekend with the Women's World Match Racing Tour. There's fabulous talent out there. You know, you've got to enhance this talent. The pathway has got to. The problem with pathways is it leads to the top, but then there has to be a rotation at the top. And unfortunately, the girls that are there will have to be rotated out, and the new girls coming through will have to come through. And if there's a women's and all women's team, gosh, I think that would be sensational. But we'll see.
Yeah, just a thought on that. I agree with you. A women's team would be great, but I'm just wondering about the grinding power on these boats. You know, everything, whenever I speak to the skippers, that they're always talking about, we just need more and more and more power so that we can do the maneuver, so that we can do the stuff. Is it realistic to have female grinders who can generate that?
Yeah, the Americans have Anna Weiss, don't they? And she's on the handles. If you leveled that one to Dawn Riley, she would say 100%. There are powerful, powerful women out there who would step forward. And I just think it's just another obstacle that we put in the way. We'll just you reduce the gearing on it. You can do all sorts of things.
Find a way.
You can find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And I think we this podcast needs to be saying and putting it in Russell's ear that a 14th team of women next year would be great. And he could make that happen if he wanted to. And I think the PR value of it would be absolutely immense. You really would be walking the walk if you did that.
Yeah. Better that than the new boat, which is still going to be built, becoming a training boat, which is, I understand the intention. Anyhow, let's have a look forward for the rest of the season. We're getting to the pointy end of it now. Just Cadiz left. Talk us through the standings, Magnus.
So the top three teams, Australia gapped a couple of points from GBR after the horror show for New Zealand, where they just couldn't catch a break in the final few races. They're third. But then you've got a chasing pack, the French, the Spanish. And to be honest, it's not impossible, but it's highly improbable that they will get into that top three. So then we go through Cadiz, depending on, I think hopefully it's a windy adventure. I mean, we were talking beforehand that it's thermal breezes coming in the afternoon. Great. So we're going to have foiling. What you then see is that the top boats seem to get richer. You've got the likes of Canada as well, who will always be striking into that top three because they do look like Canada looked this weekend like a pro team, but then just had a couple of poor results and finished down the pan. So really we're looking at Abu Dhabi. The top three teams will be probably decided by very early doors in Abu Dhabi or even beforehand, and it's a straight shootout. Pick one from three. I honestly can't pick it. If Burling is awake, because he does tend to go to sleep, he could win it. Tom, roller coaster ride, brilliant one moment, absolute turkey the next. I think this is Dylan's to lose, really. Consistency, and then he's just got to have a really great race in the final and nick the $2 million. And would if GBR won it, they would have deserved it. If the Aussies win it, you'd say, well, yeah, they're the best team out there, and they are continually the benchmark, the blueprint that we look at every single regatta. Everybody else in the fleet is also doing the same. And the Kiwis, they've had a good season, bedding in Leo Takahashi, and I'd be surprised if they won. It would be a good thing if they did. They would roll on from that and think they've had a good year. So I don't know. It's wide open between those top three. There's not much to choose between them, and it really comes down to the day, as we saw in Geneva, that last race, which was the only race worth watching. Really, Germany goes on an absolute tear, bears off underneath everybody, and they're all bunching up to the right side of the mark. They go low. And they're direct to the mark, foiling and away. And great, that's what can happen in Sail GP. So, yeah, it all comes down to probably a light air venue with Abu Dhabi, maybe just foiling. Again, on this configuration, probably the Aussies are the favourite, but it's wide open for Dylan, I think, to take it.
Yeah, disappointing that it's Abu Dhabi. Well, disappointing that it's a light wind venue. Mm. I've no problem with Abu Dhabi, but... yeah, let's fingers crossed we get some breeze. Cadiz before then, I guess for the top teams, it's a case of don't crash, don't destroy the boat, and don't exclude yourself from points because you're nearly home at this point.
And I think that's what GBR's been doing for the last few regattas. A third place, a fourth place, or this, just keep it consistent, keep it going. Oh, we've got a race win. Oh, they won in Saint-Tropez. That really helped them. But that was pure consistency. And it's now playing the probability and playing, there's a bigger picture now. So what you may see in Cadiz, you'll probably see the Spanish winning races, the French winning races. You might see one of the mid teams winning races because the top teams are going, okay, we just want to play percentages here. We're not going to go wild. We're just going to stay in the pack and just get through this. get onto Abu Dhabi, and we're home and hosed, and we've got a shot at 2 million quid. Interesting thing that the I don't know if you picked it up on the commentary. Stevie Morrison said about the actual prize money, and I didn't know this before. So it's 500. Is it 400 or $500,000 for the first boat, and then it was 800. So it's 400 grand for the top one, 280,000 for the second, and 120 for third. It's quite a lot of money.
It's quite a lot of money. Yeah. It's good sport to be involved in at the top end. This sailing, I guess we should have paid more attention. All right. Yeah. Well, Magnus, that'll probably do us for this episode. Cadiz is next, as we say. We didn't get to either of the last two. I did make a big effort to get to Geneva, but I went to a Ferrari Hypersail presentation in Geneva instead, which was actually, it was actually really interesting. So keep an eye out on the website, yachtracinglife.com, for that story. I am going to try and get to Cadiz. I live in Spain, not in the mainland, but it's cheap flights for me. So maybe you can make the effort too, and we can do our podcast on site.
Let's do it.
But for now, let's just say thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.